About the issue of trust. And this came up the other day off the air when Fernando was telling us a story about taking his car into the shop. And he's got a guy that he always takes his car to that he really, really trusts. He ended up being in another shop for another reason. And you could tell that the guy was trying to take you to the cleaners.
Well, I went into this other shop that was new close to where I live and just went in for an oil change. And invariably, when you get your oil change, they
find... You're gonna need a new air filter,
sir. They find about 30 other things. Mm-hmm. And this guy told me, you know, you really need a new water pump. And I thought, I don't think so. Because my guy that I normally go to for repairs did that about 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just... You know, it just leaves you very...
so sorry.
Yeah, it leaves you very unsettled. And when I went to my guy a couple of weeks ago for a different repair, I got to thinking, you know, it's very comforting going to someone that you completely trust.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a key one, too, the automotive repair, to have someone that you trust that, hey, take a look at this, tell me what you think. If it's too expensive, then I'll just get another car or something.
If you see Fernando coming at you, you got dollar signs in your eyes because you're thinking that's basically a woman right there.
Yeah, you know you can blow all this stuff by him. But I am one of those dudes, though, that if that thing happens when you're getting the oil changed, I'll pretty much, oh, yeah, that air filter looks pretty bad. Yeah, I mean, I always go for
it. Yeah, watch them. Watch them take that air filter that they've brought out to you and shown you. Watch them put it back up on the display shelf. And they'll take it down and show the next guy the same air filter.
I always say no to the air filter chains, which probably means I haven't had a change in years. But I always say no because I think they're trying to hoodwink me.
This is what you do. This is what I've started doing with the air filters. I always request my old one. Make sure it's the one that they showed me before. And you, what you do is you initial the new one. Get you a little Sharpie pen. Put your signature on it. Yeah, put your initials on it. And if they pull out and show you an air filter, see, your air filter's very dirty here. You look at it, I don't see my initials on there.
They have done those features on television news where they'll have everything new.
Yeah.
Air filter, everything new, then taking it for an oil change. And if it's a woman, ma'am, this air filter is really
bad.
That's
so sorry.
It is sorry.
I think that's the biggest ripoff joint there is.
Yeah,
those,
I was going to say.
Those automotive places.
I was going to say, that seems like the place that whenever a discussion like this comes up, that's the first place that's used as an example. Why hasn't there been a crackdown on these oil and filter places?
I dread going there, seriously. For an oil change, I dread that phone call 30 minutes later telling me you need this, this, and this.
That's why when you find one you trust, it's worth it to pay more.
Yeah.
Because there's one garage that I don't think they have the lowest prices in town, but I've taken it there and told them, hey, somebody told me it needs this, 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 and this, and they came back and said, nah, you need this $50 fix, and that's it. They could have had me for $600, but they were honest, and so I go back there.
So 2 days ago, I took vehicle in for, you know, it comes up to where, you know, they have maintenance minders now, basically, where you get a display and says you need this and this service done.
You're 8,000 miles past your recommended oil
change. Yeah, you have schedule A, B, and C, service 1, 2, 3, 5. And so I took it in. I said, the guy comes out to the car and says, all right, well, you need this and this service. It's scheduled. It says it there. That's $400.
I'm sorry?
For a regularly scheduled service. That seemed pretty high to me. But what did I do?
Wrote it out.
I just looked at him suspiciously and signed his form that he shoved in front of my face. But I gave him a dirty look.
Oh, that's
that was my $400 worth right there. So I'm thinking today, I'm going to call around to some other places that service the same model of car and say, hey, how much is the does it cost for this so-and-so service? I'm going to find out whether that guy ripped me off.
You know, my last experience with the place that I take my car was not a good one. My iPod was stolen out of my glove box. And I used to trust that place, and now I don't trust that place anymore. I'm going to start taking it to another place. It is hard to find a place. I guess we're talking in the world of automotive. We'll branch out here in a little bit. But it's really hard to find a place you trust because most of us know very little about what's going on.
Right.
You don't accompany the car through the process. You just, and there is a sign when I pull into this place and it says, take valuables. We're not responsible for lost or stolen items. But I've been going
to
that place.
Why aren't they responsible, by the way?
Right. And I've been going to this place for years and I trusted them.
You generally trust the valet guy?
Yeah.
No.
I do. And
I've lost two radar detectors in valets.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I trust them either.
And I also will bait my car.
What?
I'll go ahead and put out a $5 bill, just lay it out there and see if it's taken or not.
Mm-hmm.
I always test to see the trustworthiness of valets. That's worth $5 of entertainment for me.
So I think the other key one is a home repair guy, because unless you can do it yourself, which Junior and I basically can't.
No.
You can do a lot of this stuff, Gordo, but if you have stuff that's going wrong around your home, I think that's another good one to have, a guy you can trust that's not going to come out and just kill you on labor.
Absolutely, because the margin there, they'll just tell you whatever, and what do? You just agree to it.
If you don't know much, you go, okay, well, I don't want to fix it, so fine.
That's another one where you should always ask for, you know, the old parts or something if they're fixing your air conditioner. Just so you know, they actually took those parts out and put new ones in.
Do you do that, Giorgio? Do you ask for the old stuff? I always ask for the old stuff.
Yep, I do. I ask to just see it.
Maybe I have to start doing that.
That way they show work. Imagine if doctors were as dishonest. Maybe they are.
All right. You're leading me into something now.
Because if a doctor said, you just go in for a regular checkup, and he says, all right, we need to do a kidney transplant. We need to do this and this and this and this.
All right, maybe not a kidney transplant, but, you know, it's become increasingly obvious to me that when you go to the doctor, or at least the doctor I see...
Rush in, rush out?
No, that it becomes more of a money-making exercise than taking care of the patient. In other words, you go in and they're always finding something that they can charge you for.
This is an old story. This is not my new dentist. I like my new dentist, but my old dentist, I went into his office and he did the normal teeth cleaning and the checkup, and then he told me that I had a cavity on this certain tooth. And he wanted to fill it right then and there, and I didn't want to have fillings that day, so I said no. So I didn't see him for about a year, and I went back a year later for another checkup and teeth cleaning, and he did the x-rays and all of that again. Didn't say anything about a cavity at that tooth. It couldn't have healed itself. Mm-hmm. So I discovered at that moment that a year earlier, he was making up the fact that I had a cavity just to do some unnecessary drilling and get some money out of me, and so I never saw him again.
And once they get you into that hell that is insurance, it's unbelievable.
Boy.
You know, you're going for a yearly checkup that is supposedly covered 100%, and you come out owing money.
Mm-hmm.
How does that happen?
Do you guys understand your insurance at all?
No.
I mean, I have insurance, I know that, and I always give my card, and then at the end of the doctor's visit or dentist visit or whatever, they say, well, you owe this much, and okay. And then I'll get another bill in the mail later on for some other charges, and okay. I just pay whatever, because I don't understand my insurance.
Well, and they know that. You don't think the doctor's offices know that?
Yeah, I bet I've overpaid at some point.
What's your insurance cover? I mean, the first time if you call your insurance company, okay, this is what we do. That's actually a classification C charge. So that'll be what we'll cover is we cover 20% of the first 1,000. You're responsible for the 1,500. They go, and then you're glazed, and here's credit. Here's credit card. You take.
So this is Treasuries.
I went in for a normal checkup, supposed to be covered 100%. Did some blood work. About a month later, he calls, and they had the results.
HIV positive.
Yeah, no, they want you to come in for another office appointment.
Oh, yeah, we'll give you the results in person.
Right, you know what an office appointment means. That means they charge you again. I said to the nurse, I said, am I dying? No. Well, then I'm okay.
Yeah, just tell me over the phone. Sir, we don't have permission to tell you over the phone.
Right.
Who do you get permission? I'm the one.
Because
I give you permission to tell me over the phone.
They cannot charge you if they talk to you over the phone.
You know, it's funny, all these places that we don't trust, yet something that most of us do every day that directly impacts whether we live or die, we have almost complete faith in, and that's a restaurant. You're putting this food into your body.
Oh, I totally trust restaurants.
And we all blindly, completely totally. Trust yes. every restaurant we eat at that they're not poisoning us. Mm. Or killing us.
I never think a thing about it. This restaurant must be good food, right?
Will you guys get up if you're dining by yourself or something and go to the restroom or something like that and leave your drink there and just come back and drink it?
Sure.
Somebody could dump anything they wanted in that drink.
Oh, yeah. The only restaurant I haven't trusted is that one y'all made me go to in San Antonio that's now closed.
Which we're going to go to next week. I believe it's reopened.
It's reopened. Oh, the health department allowed them to reopen.
They straightened out their act.
You're crazy if you think I'm going.
All right, let's take some calls on the issue of trust to Steve in the Colony. You're on the ticket.
Hey, when you take your car and you got to be careful knowing what they're going to do. I bought a Honda about a year ago from a reputable dealer, and I came in to get a tire rotation because it was free, and they even gave me the 32-point check that said it was 7/32 in depth. And when I got home the next day, I thought it was odd. My tires were almost bald, so I ended up going into my local place in the Colony. They had to replace them, and I went back and complained, and they said they didn't say anything, but they basically switched my tires out to try to get me to buy some other tires.
Oh, my God, Lee. That's ridiculous.
That's horrible. Tanner and Hurst, you're on the ticket.
Morning, fellas.
Morning.
So I sent my wife in to get her brakes checked on her car, like the last guy, at a reputable place, or at least a well-known place. And she gives me a call, and the guy told her that they had to replace all four brake pads and all four rotors on it. It's going to be about $1,800. I told her, no, absolutely not. We took it back to the dealership that we bought it at, and the only thing we had to do was replace the right front brake pad, which was a $72 job.
Wow.
So I take the take it back to the place that she went to, and I said, okay, here's what should have been done. Here's what you quoted my wife. What's going on here? And so to make up for it, they offered me three free oil changes. So I said, so $1,800, you're giving me $90. I appreciate it, but, you know, whatever.
And they'll upsell you on those oil visits, too. And that maybe that's the lesson here. You need that car repair. Don't send the wife.
No.
No. Uh-uh. And if she does take it, make sure they have your phone number to call you to tell you what's wrong with it.
Of course,
because
you know
they
what,
tell
though?
Her, she says, okay, fix that.
I've never worked on cars. You can blow a lot of stuff by me, too.
Right. It doesn't just only happen to women.
You need a new flux capacitor.
Oh, okay.
All right.
How much those run?
That seemed to work well in the movies. Okay.
Roman in Dallas, you're on the ticket.
Hey.
Hey.
My issue is that I have a father-in-law who is a mechanic out in Fort Worth. And the one time that I didn't take it to him because it was just too far to tow it, I go to the neighborhood place. It looked like a mom and pop. Go in there, and comes back and has this diagnostic. And it's just off the charts. All these crazy things that are wrong with it. It's going to cost me $600. So I said, no, I'll go ahead and take it over there. My father-in-law comes back and looks at it and says, he slit your hose.
Wow.
And the diagnostic went completely nuts with all these problems. You know, it's all computer problems. Once you do one little thing, everything else goes wrong. And sure enough, I mean, he even brought the hose back, and it had this perfectly slit razor cut just right on the hose. I just couldn't believe it.
Jeez.
Good Lord.
So you can't trust anybody.
You can't. Don't trust anybody. Hey, I've gotten... Do you like giving out your Social Security number and everything to people?
No. We have to give that out way too much.
I don't understand that. I don't understand. When I'm signing up for, I don't know, it could be a satellite company. What do you need my Social Security number for?
The other day, I went to a store and bought a spatula, and when I checked out, they asked for my home address. Why do they need that?
I don't know.
They got a catalog?
Because they want to track your purchases.
Yeah,
mail you a catalog?
Yeah, they're going to mail you a catalog. There's no doubt.
I mean, you check out one of the big box electronics stores. What's your zip code? What's your phone number?
I never give that out. I don't do that.
That's what I say, too. I say no.
Yes, and then, so this is a way for you to be informed on deals.
I don't want to be informed. No, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Don't really want to be informed.
A lot of money.
That's great.
Just take a couple
of minutes. I sure do appreciate the offer. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think also the moral here is, as you would do with a doctor, get a second opinion. Shop around.
But think about what a beating that
is. I know.
Is.
It's a beating for everybody. But I think it pays, especially in the world of medicine or apparently in the automotive world, to get a second or third opinion. Hey, just like the guy with the brake story. Hey, this one place says I need this done. What do you guys think? I think it's a little extra effort, but I think it pays off.
See, I just pay the convenience charge.
Even if it's $600 worth?
Yeah. My car is already here at this place.
Don't worry. I'll give you the name of my guy. You'll be very happy.
That is good that you have a guy.